We're doing Thursday on Tuesday, if you can keep that straight. God knows what my schedule this week. I can't keep anything straight. It is more than a pleasure to have with me my partner in crime, my co-host on the East Coast, on the East Coast, live from our nation's capital, and who is so many things to so many people. Former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees. Mark Levine, you know him. He sits in for me here. He co-hosts with me every Thursday, hour two, but this week we're doing it tonight, hour two of Tuesday. And he also hosts the Washington-based radio television talk show, The Inside Scoop. And also, he co-hosts the Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio, WPFW 89.3 FM. Mark also frequently appears on TV, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, Fox Business, and CNBC, tangling with everyone from Bill O'Reilly on the right to his Pacifica co-host on the left. And he and I have tangoed and all of that other stuff, and more than a pleasure to have him with us tonight on the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show, which will be tonight, hour two on Tuesday, rather than this Thursday, hour two. Mark Levine, love, my co-host and partner in crime. How are you, dear?
I'm good. It's always great to be here, whether it's on a Tuesday or a Thursday or any night of the week.
Honestly, I love having you on, and I was hoping that it was Thursday, because then we're closer to the weekend, right?
That's true.
Let's talk about, there's so many things to talk about, but Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News Service sends up some news stuff, and she sent this, quote, "Nobody's madder than me." Now, this was about the president and of course, what is going on, not with the Affordable Care Act, but with the website, standing in the Rose Garden, where a pregnant woman with diabetes stood right behind him and fainted during his big finish, the president made his pitch yesterday, quote, "Nobody's madder than me about the fact the website isn't working as well as it should, which means it's going to get fixed." It has to get fixed, because if it takes too much time, I mean, first of all, I think you'd agree with me that if it takes 3 weeks to fix, they have to extend the enrollment period 3 weeks just in the name of fairness.
It was awfully embarrassing, for one thing. I mean, just really, really embarrassing. One thing about the enrollment period, though, is that you enroll by December 14th and you're good for January 1st. But a lot of people don't realize you can enroll by January 14th and be good for February, or in February to be good by March, or in March to be good by April. So really, you have until March 31st to enroll. And if they don't have it fixed by March 31st, we're all in a heck of a lot of trouble. But that's a significant amount of time. So, I mean, really, it was a mistake to bring it on from the outset. I think that President Obama wanted to show that despite the government shutdown, that Obamacare was rolling forward. But when it wasn't ready, it wasn't ready. And it wasn't ready. I mean, there's nothing else to say about it. They knew it wasn't ready. They let it out anyway. That was a colossal mistake.
And not only that it wasn't ready, but they should have rolled it out. But then again, they needed to put something out there. It was just putting the whole enchilada out there, which many people say wasn't a good idea. We can fault them for putting it out there or putting the whole enchilada out there, but part of the delay, obviously, with the different states that weren't, you know, deciding, especially when they were run by Republican governors, if they were going to be on board or not, that did assist in the delays, and they didn't have enough time to test the system and to have it up, and they needed to have something up and running to enroll these people. Also, I think that, you know, they should have not just, you know, pushed out the website, but the fact that people can call or go in person, because not everybody has a computer and not everybody has internet and not everybody is, technologically savvy. I certainly am not.
So the delay, a lot of people don't realize that there was funding that was requested by Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, for this website and for all of the basic implementation tools they needed to try it out. The Affordable Care Act, it was $1 billion, which sounds like a lot, but when you think about it, there's 300 million, you know, there's 300 million Americans and some 30 million need health care. You're really talking about, you know, $30 a person. It's not that much, really. But anyway, the Republicans refused it. So she was acting basically using what limited resources she had. And people don't talk about that aspect as well. But you're absolutely right about the Republican governors being slow to say no. I mean, if they're going to say no, they should just say it from the outset. And so the federal government was only supposed to cover the states that didn't opt into the system. And frankly, all the states were supposed to opt into the system under the original plan, but the United States Supreme Court gave them this out to opt out, and they did. And so, you know, they didn't have the time to do it. That being said, really, there's no excuse. Even with all those excuses, this was so important that I just think they should have gotten programmers on it earlier, and it takes a lot of time to do a website. I know I'm rebuilding my own. Really, this was too important to flub up, even with all those excuses.
But having said that, a website that isn't working as well as it should does not mean that the legislation will not work as well as it should.
That's correct.
Mean that the legislation is broken, and doesn't mean that this is a failed policy, as obviously Republicans love to spout.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, that also goes without saying. There can be a great product sold with a lousy website. And I think the website will work. I'll tell you this. I tried to get in the first day. It crashed. Everyone knows that. I tried to get in for much of the first week. But 1 week or so after, I probably had to try 20 times, but I did get in. I did sign up. I did check out the plans. It took a while. My guess.
No, don't you have, you're in Virginia. I know you, I don't want to give your address or anything, but I know you live in Virginia. You don't live in the district. Is Virginia one of the states, or are you one of the 36 states that has to use the federal site, or are you like California where you have your own in the state?
No. I have to use my own because we still have a Republican governor. Now, I should say this. We're going to have an election in Virginia in just 2 weeks, and I predict that the Democrat, Terry McAuliffe, will win, and then we'll have a Democratic governor, and one of the nice things that he has pledged to do is to join the Affordable Care Act system. So I'm using the federal system for now, but as soon as Governor-elect Terry McAuliffe, and yes, I'm that confident, wins the election in November and 2 weeks away, come January, they'll switch over to a Virginia plan, and I think it's better to have a state plan, particularly one by a progressive governor. But we'll see. I mean, he may take a year to put it in place. I really don't know.
Absolutely. The president, some people would say, played salesman as he was reminding Americans that the Affordable Care Act has benefits that are far beyond the chance to sign up for insurance. I mean, free mammograms, reduced prescription drug coverage for seniors, and of course, millions of people, thousands of people that now have insurance that didn't before, those who are over 21 and would have been, kicked off of their parents' insurance, those with pre-existing conditions. So even aside from the website, and actually Twitter crashed when it first launched because it had much more volume than expected. So two things here. One, like you say, there is no excuse. I don't agree with you. There's no excuse for that.
There's some excuses, but really it was important. And I'm sorry it happened, and I'm sure the president is too.
Yeah. No, most definitely. Speaking of, should Kathleen Sebelius be blamed for this and be even fired or asked to step down? That's what some certainly on the right want.
I think we do need to investigate it. I'm against a lot of these frivolous Republican investigations where they're just trying to make political points, and no doubt this one is. And yet, I do think it's important when you're putting out a new product. I want to find out whose fault it is, Did the contractors not have enough time? Did they have enough time, or did they blow it? Did we choose the wrong contractors? Frankly, I'm worried about government contractors in general, particularly in the military, and I'm worried about no-bid contracts. I was with Halliburton, and I'm consistent here. I do want to get to the bottom of this, and I want to make sure we have the best software people for anything the government does. Frankly, if it's, defense, something malfunctions, that could kill a lot of people. So I do think they should get to the bottom of it. If it can be shown, and I think it has to be shown, that Kathleen Sebelius made some decisions, in terms of time or effort or money or choice of contractor that caused this mess, and it really was her fault, then maybe she should consider resigning. I have a feeling that's not going to be what they discover. They're probably going to find out the mistake was at some mid-level. But, I agree with the people that say a head should roll. I think a head should roll. I think it was an embarrassment, and whoever is responsible, frankly, should be fired. Probably not her, but whoever does the IT or whomever hired these people or whatever happened. We still don't know yet.
When we look at the Affordable Care Act and its benefits, obviously it just helps the Republicans to attack this. But, I have never seen an attack on a piece of legislation like this, and we talked about that before, I don't think in my lifetime, and I don't think you ever have as well. Do you think this will settle down at all? And if I asked you this before last week, I apologize for the redundancy. Or do you think that this is going to go on for the next 3 years? Because I mean, seriously, when they say to me, we need to talk about something other than the Affordable Care Act, I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
Well, you may remember, because I did talk a little bit about it last time. This was before my lifetime, but I do know from history that the Republicans continued to attack Social Security for at least 4 or 5 years after it went into effect. Alf Landon really attacked it. It was the main thing in his 1936 campaign against Franklin Delano Roosevelt. But after Roosevelt won 46 of the then 48 states, they kind of dropped it. But they continued on Medicare, again, attacking it viciously. One of the people who most attacked what they, I guess they would have called Johnson Care if they'd had enough analysts in those days, well, was Ronald Reagan, who harshly, harshly argued against the socialized medicine that was Medicare. And the irony, of course, is that Medicare really is much closer to socialized medicine than the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare.
Also, other irony is that Nancy Reagan still alive? She's still alive, right?
I don't know that she is. Is she?
We'll look it up.
I don't know.
She's not.
Anyway, go ahead.
I don't think so.
I think she's right, but I may be wrong.
We'll look it up. I'm looking up right now. Nancy Reagan.
No, she is alive. Never mind.
She is alive. Okay, I'm wrong.
She's 92 years young.
She's 92 years old, yes.
Okay, so I bet she's getting Medicare, and Ronald Reagan certainly did.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm sure she is getting Medicare right now. Well, you know, by the time Reagan was president, this is a clear example. So Reagan didn't become president until 1981. By that time, we'd had Medicare for 15 years, and he never repeated his, he had strong, vicious attacks on Medicare in the 60s and the 70s, but it just goes to show you that even Ronald Reagan, you know, the patron saint of conservatives, 15 years into Medicare, recognized that it was too popular a program to stop. So, ironically, Ted Cruz, and I dislike Ted Cruz for many reasons, but he was prescient, I think, when he said to Sean Hannity, if we don't stop it now, we'll never be able to stop it. Because I think he realizes that they can't. So the sum and substance of what I'm saying, Leslie, is 2-3 years, they'll keep it up through 2014 to be sure, maybe in 2016. By 2017, if they don't win an election, it's over.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, be thinking on this. Some of the crazy theories going around, one of which is that the Democrats have done all of this, including a broken down website, on purpose. We'll be back. I'll tell you more. I'm Leslie Marshall, co-hosting with my buddy Mark Levine here on the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show. Pick up the phone and join us, 888-653-7543. Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk. He will share your tweets during this hour. Follow me on Twitter at Leslie Marshall, and I will do the same. You can check out our websites, marklevinetalk.com or lesliemarshallshow.com. Back to you, your tweets, your calls, and emails more and more after this. And we're back with my co-host, Mark Levine. I'm Leslie Marshall. Welcome or welcome back, America. We're talking about healthcare, and I was mentioning before the break some theories. I hope you'll join us, 888-653-7543. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome back. Yes, many Republicans are saying that, you know, because Democrats, the president, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, et cetera, have been quoted as saying, you know, a single-payer plan would be better, that this is a stepping stone, and if it fails and the website crashes and all of that, they can say, see, this is why we need a single-payer plan, a single-payer option, a single-payer plan, you know, put everybody on Medicare. And I honestly said, I think you're delusional. That's preposterous.
Well, they are delusional. I mean, it's true that single payer is better. It is easier to enroll everyone and to make sure everyone's covered than to have a state-by-state plan with various private proposals and a different coverage for different people and different coverage subsidies depending on your income. Sure, it's complicated. It would be easier to do single payer. But to think that the president purposely botched it, you know, I you're right. People are delusional. Hey, can I read some of my tweets? You got time for that?
I'm sorry?
Can I read some of the people who have tweeted at me and I've responded to?
Yeah, actually, I was going to share a tweet, but I don't know if you've responded.
Okay, you share yours, and I'll share mine later. Go ahead.
Oh, no. You share yours first. Go ahead.
Okay. This is a guy that calls himself Tea Party Patriot.
Oh, wait a minute. He's actually, we have the same tweet here. Is this the ACA?
Okay. We're going to read it out. Go right ahead.
Okay. If the ACA is delayed, does that mean Ted Cruz was right and the Democrats were wrong on the shutdown? I'm like, if a health care plan is delayed, it doesn't mean it's a failure. I mean, Medicare was changed how many times? Medicare is four parts now. When it started, it had one at its inception.
I responded with the Tea Party Patriot with what I'm proud to say is my shortest tweet ever. It consisted of two letters, no. One day I may be able to tweet with one letter, but that's my record so far for shortest tweet ever. The other thing Tea Party Patriot said that I thought was hilarious is when he said that the Affordable Care Act is actually worse than the website. It will go down in history as the death of America. To which I responded, really? Worse than the Civil War? Wow, you think a million will die?
Absolutely
the
insane.
The death of America?
No, the Affordable Care Act will go down in a sense like Medicare. The Republicans will stop talking about it, and it'll just become a part of our normal daily life, you know, which scares the bejesus out of everybody. How much time did you say, Marky Mark? Sorry. 90 seconds. Okay. Well, we're coming up on a break. Very quickly, though, I can't stand when I can't remember the heck I was going to say. Oh, but, you know, with regard to the Affordable Care Act, does it bother you? Because it bothers me, and people are constantly saying they're not going to be able to have the doctor they want. And it's like, if you have a doctor, you have health care. This is for the uninsured.
That's true. Or your company provides it. I mean, that's crazy. And if you go into their plans, you can still choose any doctor. So I don't know what they're talking about. They just don't know either.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to, we have so many things to talk about tonight. Wow. I mean, I was just talking healthcare. When we come back, do you want to talk a little bit more about basically Kathleen Sebelius and her testimony, Verizon, that kind of thing, and more about the website crash? Or should we move on to the jobs report?
Talk about the economy. I think people are tired of this rollout for now. We've talked about it a lot lately. Let's move on to the economy.
All right. We will talk about the September jobs report. Some say disappoints, but does it? And why did it? If it was disappointing, we'll be back right after this. I'm Leslie Marshall. My co-host is Mark Levine. And this is the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show. Back after this. Leslie Marshall, welcome back to the only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people. My co-host and partner in crime, Mark Levine, host of the Inside Scoop in Washington, D.C., co-host of the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall right here. We're going to be talking about the jobs report. We're going to be talking about those numbers, and we'd love to get your reaction. Join us at 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Follow us on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk for Mark. And at Leslie Marshall for me. Also, websites at Mark Levine, website www.marklevinetalk.com, Leslie Marshall, LeslieMarshallShow.com. Tweet us, email us, call us, interact with us, and we will share some of those tweets tonight. Let's talk about the September jobs report. Some people say it disappoints. They were expecting 180,000 jobs. Employers added just 148,000 jobs, and those were non-farm jobs. Now, my belief, Mark, is that there are many companies, I know the company my husband works for is one, that weren't going to hire additional people because there was a constant threat by the Republicans that they were going to shut down this government if they didn't get their way. There were people afraid of the government shutdown. Certainly anybody in the federal position of hiring would not be adding jobs if you're just going to have to furlough somebody right after they start. And then, of course, with the government shutdown, as we, did have, which I think we'll see, later, they weren't rolling out lots of small business loans for people starting new companies where they would hire employees. And then, of course, there was the threat of the debt ceiling. So I think in both the private and the public sector, even though the government shutdown had not happened in September, the threat of such and the threat of this country not being able to pay its debts and the debt ceiling not being raised and going into default, I feel certainly weighed into that and will weigh in even more so the October jobs report.
Well, I agree with every word you said, Leslie. I think it did weigh on the report. I think it'll get worse in the October jobs report. And let's not forget that we've got a January and February shutdown that are possible. At least they pushed it off till after Christmas, which is good because we need the holiday shopping period. That's a major part of the U.S. economy. But we also have to remember that there have been problems for years now, entirely caused by the Republicans in Congress, for why our economy hasn't come gangbusters out of this recession. First of all, people should remind themselves how serious this recession was. This recession, the Great Recession that began under George Bush in 2007, is by far the largest economic slowdown in American history since the Great Depression. So let's no one doubt the seriousness of all of this. And secondly, President Obama argued from the outset we needed a strong stimulus package. Instead, the Republicans have insisted on the same strategy that Herbert Hoover used to end the Great Depression, and I don't think it worked in the early 1930s, and that is austerity. That is to cut spending. Basically, their view is when the child is starving, don't feed it, let it work it out for itself. Now, I'm the first one to say that when times are good and we have a massive surplus in the budget and the unemployment is down and so forth, like in the Bill Clinton years, yeah, that's when you run a surplus, that's when you save money, that's when you cut government spending. But it's a real mistake, and Herbert Hoover learned this the hard way, we're learning it now, it's a real mistake to practice austerity, that is, to cut spending in the middle of a recession because government spending primes the economy. The economists say that at least 1% of our gross domestic product is caused by this. And when you think about 1%, that may not sound like much, but the economy, if it grows 3% a year, that's the economy growing at a good pace. If it's 2%, that's kind of anemic, and 1% is slow. So it makes a major difference in our economy. And, of course, President Obama has been forced to cut government. He's the first president in American history, the first one ever to actually cut the size of government, not just cut its growth, but actually cut its absolute levels because of the sequester and all the Republican plans. So if you want to know why the economy isn't growing as fast as it should, I can point the finger squarely at the GOP.
Let's take some calls, and we go to Daily Dave in Hawaii. Aloha, Dave. Good evening. Thank you for joining us. Question or comment on this September jobs report?
Hello, friend. How are you?
Good. How are
you? Hello,
doing?
Dave.
Hi, Mark. Thank you.
Hi, Dave.
I'm learning these days about internet or Twitter trolls. That's always a good time, isn't it?
There are quite a few of them, and they seem to love talking to Leslie and me.
Yeah, they seem to glom onto you, exactly.
It's amazing how much they hate us, yet they're following every word we say on Twitter. They're listening to our radio shows. They're watching us on television. You know, people are like, I hate watching you on Fox. I'm like, then change the channel.
Well,
I don't have a gun to anybody's head.
Tune into the radio show and call in if you have to.
It's easier for them to hide behind their keyboards.
You know why they don't call in, Dave? Because if you've noticed, a lot of times when they call in, at least when I'm hosting, I take the time to actually have them say their reasons on the air, and sometimes I actually convert a few of them. So I think they're afraid of that conversion, so they don't call in. That's why.
Well, I understand the threat because you're very convincing.
The point is, actually more of laying down the gauntlet and trying to curse them to call in.
When we go back 30 years to Reaganomics, government is not the solution. Government is the problem. And government spending has been cut, 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 and taxes have been cut, cut, cut. And where is the middle class right now? Wages, average wages for the middle class have remained stagnant for the last 30 years, while earnings for the upper 5% have gone through the roof, and our infrastructure is falling apart. I saw a short video today about Alan Greenspan saying that you cannot basically cut your way to prosperity. As you were saying a moment ago, Mark, that in Europe, these austerity budgets have not worked. They have not worked in Greece. They have not worked in Italy. They have not worked in Portugal. They have not worked in Spain. And the only, or one of the few economies in Europe, which is expanding, is the German economy, which has a strong union force and government spending.
Yeah, and they didn't work for Herbert Hoover either. Ironically, you mentioned the fact that middle class haven't had their wages increase. We have the worst income inequality we've ever had in American history since Herbert Hoover, since the 1920s.
Right, and so the only thing I mean, the expansion of the American economy coming out of World War II was the interstate highway system. It
yep.
was the expansion or the growth of union labor, and it was the, let's say, a technological advance with, I guess I'd say, television, radio, the consumer boom of the 50s and 60s.
And even defense spending, and look, I'm not a big fan of defense spending because I think there are better ways to stimulate the economy, but the point about defense spending is even when you just pay something to, you know, buy a weapon that's never used, just the mere production actually stimulates the economy. I have conservatives all the time say, the New Deal didn't get us out of the Great Depression, World War II did, to which I say, yes. They both did, because government spending stimulates the economy. And World War II, we were actually spending more than 100% of our gross domestic product. And you know what? We survived, we prospered, and the 1950s were a really strong economy for the nation. So again, I don't like deficit for deficit's sake. I agree with Bill Clinton that when the economy was very strong in the late 90s, that was the time to run a budget surplus. And when we get unemployment down to 5%, Obama should run a budget surplus. But we haven't reached that point yet.
Dave?
Right. So when we get back to, Leslie, when we get back to the sequester and cuts in federal spending and the $23 million, is that the number, $28 million, that this little Tea Party shenanigan
has 24.
Cost us, we should reconsider the fact that it's growth in the government and taxation that actually expands the economy.
I think we should make the Tea Party pay that $24 billion back. I don't know how we're going to do that, but in principle, I'd love to see it.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much.
Always a pleasure, Daily Dave. Thank you for that. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we can decide whether we're going to keep talking the economy and the September jobs report, or actually, we can decide now. Do you want to talk about, in this last segment in this hour, the polls and their view of the GOP, Congress, the president, that kind of things? Or do you want to talk Syria? Which do you prefer, dear?
I think we could do both. Let's start with the polls, and we might get a little bit of Syria stuff in as well.
Sounds good. My co-host is Mark Levine. He's on the East Coast in D.C. I'm on the West Coast in Los Angeles. We will be back. Actually, he's in Virginia. We will be back right after this. Don't go away. The Inside Scoop edition of The Leslie Marshall Show. Back at you right after this. And join us 888-653-7543. Tweet us, follow us on Twitter at Leslie Marshall or at Mark Levine Talk, my co-host in this hour, usually every second hour on Thursday, tonight hour two on this Tuesday. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome back. The polls are out. Their results are certainly not good. In a Washington Post ABC News poll, 63% of Americans say they have an unfavorable view of the GOP. Even more right-leaning conservative-type polls like Rasmussen show the president equal or up, unfavorable view of Congress, even lower view of Congress, and lower view of the GOP in its entirety. And certainly lower in Congress. So 63% of Americans say they have an unfavorable view of the GOP, 32% favorable. So basically, that's almost 4 in 10 Americans have a strongly unfavorable view. That's almost half of Americans who have a strong unfavorable view. How does that play out with elections coming up, especially if the Republican Party, which I believe it will, continues to be divided and pushed by the Tea Party, who's obviously trying to take over with Ted Cruz as their leader, the GOP? Now comments coming out from the Republicans showing that they're against immigration reform, which would help them politically, and three, that they're also going to bang the drum of Obamacare, bad, 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 the boogeyman, you know, Satan incarnate, and continue to bang it loudly, whether it be slowly or not. Is this Charles Krauthammer said it's a suicide caucus. I think that the Republican Party are committing suicide, and these polls show that, and they're completely being ignored by the Republicans. Why do you think that is?
Because there's no Republican Party. There are two Republican parties. There's the Tea Party, and there's the establishment Republicans, and they're in civil war right now. I mean, we are really seeing the birth of a third party. Well, actually, I take it back. The Tea Party controls the Republican Party. If the establishment Republicans want to take back their party, they may have to set up a third party, because when people say they hate the Republicans, they don't really mean John McCain. They mean Ted Cruz. They mean the Tea Party Republicans. So they're at war with each other. You know, when Charles Krauthammer, who's a dedicated conservative, I rarely agree with Charles Krauthammer, but I agree with him on this one when he says that his party is committing suicide. And when he, you know, when you say that your own party is committing suicide, it's likely to be the case. And we're going to see it, by the way. Again, there's an election in Virginia. For those of you that are confused, I do my show from in Washington, D.C. I live across the river in Virginia, but still within the Beltway. So I always say I'm within the Beltway. In fact, where I live used to be part of the District of Columbia. So I'm, for all intents and purposes, in both places. But there's going to be an election in Virginia in 2 weeks. I think the Democrats are going to sweep that election. I do think Chris Christie will leak out a win in New Jersey. But Christie has been very smart about condemning the Tea Party every chance he gets. It's the reason why he's a Republican that's still doing well, whereas the rest of the party is discounted.
When we look at the polls, too, you talk about the Republicans and the Tea Party. When they ask who is to blame for the shutdown and the impasse over that, 53% cite Republicans, 29% the president, 15% cite both sides equally. But Tea Partiers, no surprise, overwhelmingly blame the president. Non-Tea Party Republicans blame Republicans nearly as much as Obama, which reinforces what you just said.
Yeah, no, the Republican Party really is dividing. And we're going to find with the immigration debate the exact same division. Because the establishment Republicans recognize, frankly, as George W. Bush did, as John McCain did, there was a time when Bush was president that 23 Senate Republicans supported immigration reform. But they're fighting up against their Tea Party, which doesn't support it. You pointed out, Leslie, you're absolutely right. It's not just the right thing to do because it's the right thing to do, particularly the kids that were brought here through no fault of their own and only speak English and have lived here. But it's not just the right thing to do. It's a great political win. The Latino vote has gotten more and more Democratic every single year. It's going to get even more Democratic. And again, there's that suicide pact, the Tea Party taking established Republicans down with them. I think unless the established Republicans fight back against the Tea Party, they're doomed.
When we look at more numbers, the overall approval of Congress stands at 12%. That's 85%. Disapproving 70% of the 85 strongly. That is the most negative expression toward Congress in almost a quarter of a century of Washington Post ABC polling. Does that go away, being that the next election's a year away, or, you know, a year and a couple of weeks?
You know, that's up 2% from the government shutdown, because it was down to 10%, according to some polls.
Yep.
I thought the most interesting part of that poll was when they said, would our country be better off if every member of Congress were fired and we began with a whole new one? And 50% or so said we would be better off, a solid majority. 40% said it would make no difference. And 4%, which was within the margin of error, by the way, 4% said that they think the current Congress would be better than a different Congress. Within the margin of error. In other words, it was 0 ± 4%. It could have been negative. Americans are not happy with Congress. They recognize that whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent, you want Congress to work together. Democrats have repeatedly tried to compromise, and Republicans have repeatedly tried to say my way or the highway. And I think Americans are going to realize that. The question that you asked, Leslie, about November 2014 elections, the answer is it all depends on what happens in the next year. If Republicans again shut down the government in January or February, then, yeah, I think the Democrats even win back the House, which is something that will actually help President Obama stand firm in negotiations, because the Republicans know it would be even more suicidal to do the exact same thing again.
When we look at Americans, many times they get very angry, and then they forget. Now, you're saying you don't think they will forget between now and the next year, or, you know, because already, like you said, you know, the disapproval rating of Congress is, 2 percentage points better, for congressional members. And over again, people vote in, both left and right, Democrats and Republicans, the incumbents. Now, you've just said you do think the 17 seats are within reach that the Democrats need to take over the House.
Well, if Republicans shut down the government again. Now, if Republicans actually play ball and cooperate with the president and they come to some kind of grand bargain, then I think this shutdown actually does very little political damage and they will forget a year from now. I'm saying if Republicans keep up this strategy, I do think they have the ability to redeem themselves largely if they act like, you know, good kids in the next year. I don't think they will. I think they'll throw another tantrum. But if they do, yeah, then I think they actually can make the American people forget, because unfortunately we have short memories.
When they do have short memories, you talked
about... They've already forgotten Syria, for example.
You talked about a third party. What does a third party do to the Republicans? What does a third party do to the Democrats?
A third party destroys the party that it's closest to. The Republican Party destroyed the Whig Party, the Green Party, and Ralph Nader destroyed Al Gore. It's the reason why that election was close enough to be within the margin of stealing. Otherwise, Al Gore would have walked away with that election. The Libertarians, the Tea Parties, are destroying the Republican Party, which is why I say on the left, don't be a third party. Support the Democrats. Fight in the primary, but support the Democrat. Hold your nose. But if you're on the right, please, please, let third parties bloom. Go for it. Enjoy yourself, Tea Party. Form another party. Nothing I'd like to see more as a good liberal.
Yeah, most definitely. What does that do to the system? Is it essential? Is it inevitable? Because certainly the system has changed since our founding forefathers when there were Federalists, and, you know, certainly, very quickly. We have a minute.
Well, I think it's the reason we have a two-party system, because our system is designed so that a third party weakens the party it most wants to help. If we had a parliamentary system with a proportional representation like they have in England or Israel or other countries, then you could have third, four, five, six parties bloom. It just doesn't work as our system is developed. That's why we have a two-party system.
Mark, love you. Always love having you on. We'll hear from you next Thursday, hour two. Any quick things coming up you want to pitch or promote very quickly?
I'll be on Fox this Saturday at 1:20. Check it out.
Oh, okay. What show is that? America's Headquarters?
America's Headquarters.
Okay. Well, have a good one. Break a leg, a lip, and all that.